Welcome back to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, and with me today is my special guest, Kim Natovitz. Welcome, Kim.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
It's great to have you on the show. Kim brings 20 plus years of experience advising clients and financial advisors about insurance planning. She partners with financial planners, lawyers, accountants, and trust companies, as well as individuals and employers. And due to her expertise, many of us ask Kim to help them personally select the right insurance products. She was one of the earliest insurance advisors to recognize the importance of advising clients and professionals about the need to plan for extended care. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in length today. The relationships she's developed with insurance carriers, care managers, and providers have earned her a reputation as one of the most knowledgeable professionals in the industry. She's been recognized by several local publications as one of the best insurance advisors in our area, and Kim is a current board member of the Washington Area Women's Foundation. She and her husband reside in Maryland and have five-year-old twins.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. What brought you to D.C. and how long ago was that?
You know, I came to D.C. probably about 22 years ago and accepted a job with an insurance company to open an office here. And my role was to help property and casualty agents sell retirement plans to their clients.
Okay.
And it was a great opportunity.
And so you've been here ever since. And what made you decide to open your own insurance agency?
You know, I decided that as much as retirement planning was really interesting and compelling, because it was at the time we were really making the shift from defined benefit plans to defined contribution plans,
right?
There was a tremendous amount of education that pre-retirees needed about saving and investing for their own future.
Right.
But it was really my passion for something that nobody else was talking about, which was this need for extended care. And I'd had a tremendous amount of family experience. We always joke and say I'm the poster child for, you know, for long-term care. You know, I grew up with my grandfather living with us and being responsible for taking care of him. My father's mother was in a nursing home for over 11 years. And I saw the toll that it took on our family, both emotionally and financially,
right,
for them to be responsible for taking care of their parents later on in life. Then when I got married, I saw my mother-in-law go through a similar experience of needing care. And again, saw what happened in their family and to my sister-in-law and my husband, and recognized this was something that people really weren't talking about. And it was such an important component of long-term financial security.
The passion that you show me about, you know, educating people is really an important component of being a good advisor in any industry. When did you first realize, was it the family experience that really turned you on to the need to educate others about the benefits of long-term care insurance?
It was absolutely the family experience, because nobody was prepared.
Right.
You know, we were all concerned about having sufficient income for retirement, but nobody was really focusing on these healthcare costs,
right,
how expensive they could be, how you could need this type of care immediately, and it could go on for a number of years, and that you could end up, while you'd accumulated for retirement, you might end up invading principal very early on and spending your 401k, as an example, twice as fast as you'd ever anticipated.
What does, we all know that Medicare is out there, and we have Medicaid, which is really for the indigent.
Right.
What do they pay for? What does Medicare pay for, and what doesn't it pay for?
That's a great question. You know, Medicare is really designed to pay for skilled care, something where it's anticipated that you're going to recover and be able to live independently. So Medicare is going to pay for the time that you spend in a nursing home when you can't receive that care on an outpatient basis.
Okay.
You know, Medicare ostensibly will pay for up to 100 days of skilled care. Although what I see is that most people aren't responding. At some point in time, Medicare comes in and says, you're not making any further improvements, so we're not even going to pay for 100 days of skilled care. And that's a huge surprise to a lot of families.
Who makes that determination? Somebody at the in the government?
The decision is made essentially by whoever is managing that plan of care and looking at, is increased skilled care, PTOT, going to render you more functionally independent? And oftentimes it isn't. And what people are often surprised about is that Medicare really does not pay for any care at home, and it doesn't pay for care that is purely custodial. So that person who ends up going into a nursing home, and they're going to that nursing home because of Alzheimer's or dementia or something, where they haven't had that skilled care or that three-day hospital stay, Medicare's not going to participate in their care at all. So there are really very limited benefits from Medicare.
What about Medicaid? Does that pay for anything?
You know, Medicaid absolutely will pay for care. However, for most of us, first, it's not going to pay for the care where we want to receive it. So Medicaid is going to pay for care in a facility, assuming you meet the criteria and that you have declined sufficiently and you really need to receive your care in that setting. So Medicaid does not pay for home care. And the way that you qualify for Medicaid is if your income, your assets are not sufficient to pay for your care, then Medicaid looks at your financial situation and they determine, you know, of your Social Security and whatever income you have, this is how much you pay to the facility, and then Medicaid will pay the balance. But the difficulty is, especially for people who are married, so Medicaid is going to say that, you know, for a spouse, we are going to leave you with some resources. And there is, on a state-by-state basis, you know, an asset limit and an income limit. But it's a one-size-fits-all approach. And it's certainly not going to be enough for most people to have the type of financial security or lifestyle that they had prior to someone needing care.
In other words, unless you're indigent, Medicaid is really not an option.
Absolutely.
Now, can you tell us how long-term care insurance works? Just give us an example of how
sure,
it works.
Sure. You know, long-term care insurance often is very confusing to people, but it really is relatively simple, because long-term care insurance, there are really two types, is nothing more than a supplemental health insurance contract. And it's a health insurance contract that's going to pay for what's specifically excluded from Medicare, our employer-sponsored health insurance plans, Medicare supplements. So you're essentially purchasing either a traditional health insurance policy, or you're buying a life insurance policy with a long-term care rider, an annuity contract with a long-term care rider, where you're selecting first a daily benefit or a monthly benefit. And that's how much the insurance company is going to reimburse you for care in the setting of your choice, in your home or in a facility. And then you're determining how long do you want those benefits to continue, a number of years, a number of months. Then you're determining, do you want those benefits to increase so that if it's a decade or longer before you need care, you have a benefit that is increased for inflation.
With all the increases in healthcare costs, that would be a wise thing to do if you're buying long-term care insurance.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to throw a zinger at you, because I've heard from other people who are in the insurance industry that long-term care insurance is not long for this world, that the providers are stopping. You know, the provision of long-term care insurance, it's not as available. The policies are being redone. What's going on in the industry today? Can you give us sort of a quick synopsis of
that? Sure, absolutely. I think there are a number of carriers first let me step back and tell you a little bit about money for claims. And that comes from premiums that people pay, and it comes from the carriers investing those premiums and what they earn on there. So in this very low interest rate environment, I don't know if you've been to a bank recently and, you know, went to open a CD, but you probably spent more on gas than you're going to earn on interest. So insurance,
for the whole year.
Yeah, for the whole year. Right. So insurance companies are really suffering in terms of what they can earn on their investments. And long-term care insurance is a contract where there are a lot of reserves that are required. So there have been some carriers that have looked at essentially the resources they have to deploy, the return on the investment, and they have decided that if this is such a small piece of the pie for us, it's not worth it for us to continue to sell this contract and to really tie up these resources. So some carriers have made that decision that this is just not a business we want to be in, that we would actually improve profitability by selling more of additional profit lines from there. There have been some carriers that have said, we thought we would cross-sell more. We thought more of our existing clients would purchase this product when in fact it hasn't. Mm-hmm. And then the initial assumptions that carriers made with regard to this product have turned out to not be what current experience reflects. And so carriers who really don't have a substantial amount of market share have decided that this is a product that carriers are going to need more experience to price appropriately. And if they're not a carrier that already has a lot of market share, it's just not something that they've continued to be worthwhile for them. Now, carriers have also taken the tact of inventing or essentially looking at new products that some consumers find more attractive. And these are the life insurance products, the annuity products that have long-term care riders.
Okay.
Because something that consumers have said is that while we want this benefit, we don't necessarily want to pay this premium and not get anything in return. So there's been a new generation of products to complement the existing products.
So and to make a 2-minute answer, a 10-second answer, it's still available and people should consider buying it.
Still available, not going away.
Okay. If I've got enough assets to pay for my care, why should I buy long-term care insurance?
That's a great question. Well, the first thing is assets are not what pays for long-term care. It's income. And not all of our assets necessarily produce income. And then if we're in a situation where if we look at 2008 and we didn't have sufficient income necessarily to cover the cost of care, if we had to liquidate an asset, we might be taking a significant market value adjustment. We end up reducing our income. We may lose a stepped up basis on an asset. I think the other reasons that people buy long-term care is for estate conservation. They don't necessarily want to use their assets to pay for care. We also look at the demographics of families today. And so we're looking at people who are marrying later in life. They are having children. Maybe they've been married previously. And as part of an overall estate planning strategy to make sure that beneficiaries receive assets, it can be something that makes sense.
What are the biggest mistakes that people make when they're buying long-term care insurance?
I think one of the biggest mistakes that people make is often over-insuring the benefit period, but not buying a high enough monthly benefit.
What do you mean by that?
So many people initially bought long-term care benefits with a lifetime unlimited benefit period.
Okay.
But they bought a policy that didn't really cover enough of what their expenses were.
Right.
And so they really were overinsured in terms of the benefit period there. Second thing is not buying an inflation rider.
Oh, my.
So bought long-term care insurance when they were in their 50s, but by the time they got to be in their 70s and long-term care costs had increased, they really didn't have enough benefit from there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the last issue is not telling anybody what they did or why they did it and not having a plan that addresses, the who, what, when, where for actually helping them to implement a plan of care.
We're talking with Kim Natovitz, who obviously is an expert in long-term care insurance. Kim, if people want to get in touch with you to find out about the options that they have for long-term care insurance and other insurance products, how do they do that?
One of two ways. They can call my office, and our number is 301-581-7333, or they can send us an email, knatovitz, KNATOVITZ, at natovitz, natovitz.com.
What a great explanation of long-term care insurance, and I encourage the listeners out there to call Kim, send her an email, get in touch with her through her website to find out more about long-term care insurance. Thanks for being a special guest on Blueprint for Wealth.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you for listening to our topics and guests. Join us next week for another special topic and special guest on Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell. Have a great week.